You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette and Jim. Oh, wait a minute. It's Jessica.
It's me, not Lisette.
Jessica happens to be my number one daughter of my two daughters. She's the first.
Yeah.
And the second one is the number one daughter of the second daughters. But in any case, wanted to introduce her. She's been on the show before, and when we had, who did we have on?
It was twice.
Irene?
Yeah, there was one with Irene and one with just me and Alfred.
Today we're talking about a couple of different things, but I want to start off with this thing, which was the things tend to, I don't want to use the word bother me, but when you look at something, like somebody posted this online, it was, you can't be one wing of a bird in a relationship. You and the person you're with have to be two wings flapping together. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, okay, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean two wings. It means you have to have the same wing. You can't have a robin's wing and an eagle wing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a chicken wing that doesn't fly, right? Chickens, do they fly?
Chickens can fly.
Just a little bit.
I mean, they're not like up in the... not soaring.
They don't commute. They don't migrate. That's what I mean. Not commute. They're going into the city for jobs now.
Yeah.
You know, the big chicken crisis of the 2024 is coming up when they stop flying into the city.
Yeah.
Any case. So the idea of in a relationship, you need to be the same wing. Meaning if you're an eagle's wing, your partner needs to be an eagle's wing.
Yeah.
Does that mean they need to be an eagle's fan? It may. It may. If you're an Eagles fan.
If they live in Philly, they better.
They better be an Eagles fan. The point is, we talked about this on our show in the past, which is common goals, moving towards the same goals or the same individual goals, meaning supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
You fly together. But you need to have basically, what did you call it? Equal, when you help each other.
Well, equitable responsibility.
Equitable.
Did I say equitable? Equitable responsibility.
Acquittal. You're not guilty.
Yeah.
What is that? Indicted or acquitted? No, equitable.
Yeah. Equitable responsibility as opposed to equal.
Okay. Equitable, meaning you need to share in the burden of flight. And flight means you're flying in the sky, things are beautiful, you have ups and downs, the winds, the storms, but you do it together. Equitably.
Yeah. In that case, I could argue you could have two different wings because you're taking on different sorts of responsibilities, but you're still flying.
Different talents. I have an eagle talent, so I can grab fish.
Yeah.
I have the talent of a...
Robin for worms.
These, chicken for picking out little bugs.
Use their beaks. Yeah, chickens different do talents. Eat bugs, don't they?
They do. And that's good for your yard. If you are thinking of debugging your yard,
mm-hmm.
owning chickens is a good way to go. And they are extremely good for giving you an egg
they
each
are.
Morning. Yeah.
Easter's coming up,
so
it's perfect.
So go get your chickens. You know what? Give the gift. Give your kids little chickens for Easter.
But
like everyone. No, fake ones.
But in relationships, you know, too early on, you don't want to commit because then you'd be putting all your eggs in one basket.
That's good. I like that. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Don't.
But figure out what that basket is and then determine, do you want to put your eggs in it?
Yeah.
Not good? Okay, we're done.
You can do one egg at a time, slowly.
One egg at a time. Is that like the 12-step relationship program? Egg at a time.
Yeah, 12 months. I feel like that's a good, you know, first month of the relationship. Okay, we're only seeing each other. That's the first egg, second egg, second month.
Okay, so we have to do the one egg at a time theory of relationships.
Yeah.
By Jessica Galnick. Let's write that down. One okay. egg.
That's the funniest book time. Title.
One egg at
one
a time.
One egg at a time.
One egg at a time. One egg is all it takes.
Don't egg me on, because I will write the book.
That's good. And then that book will take flight.
I just hatched a really good idea.
It's perfect. Perfect. Oh. And with it, you'll earn all this money and you'll have a nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, beyond that, we wanted to talk about when people aren't flying with the same wings, when they're different wings, when one wing is actually like a paw and the other wing is, I don't know, a fin like a fish. And we want to talk about toxic relationships today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can give a couple examples of toxic relationships that most everyone's heard about.
Maybe.
You want to start off with one?
No.
You have one?
No, I have none.
You have none? Not you yourself, personally.
I've had
but
some.
But we've got this list here. Oh, my gosh. Toxic relationships. She was like Clorox, I'll tell you.
It's funny.
She just bleached over everything. Oh, you know, nothing was ever a problem. She could always get the stain out.
We had... Yeah. That's not the word I was looking... Never mind.
Clean up after that murder scene. You know, that's what you do with bleach.
So she would no always sweep stuff under the rug.
Yeah. Terrible. Or wrap it in the rug and take it out and dump it. That's how you get rid of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. Like, I'm going to start off with this one.
Okay.
Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown. It's old, old news for us older people out there. But they always had a challenge in their relationship. They were really famous musicians that had a very well-known relationship back in 1992 to 2006. And addiction to drugs and alcohol, fraud, arrest, other things between the two of them, domestic violence led to a toxic relationship. But we're not, a lot of these relationships, celebrity relationships, we hear about the toxic relationships.
Yeah.
But they're typically, a lot of them are like abusive.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's not just miscommunication or inability to work together in a household. It's
Mr. Communication, too.
Anyways.
And violence. Yes. So, go ahead. So, what do you have
there? I mean, a lot of them are violent. Like, I don't want to go into the details of the physical abuse because I think it's just been repeated so many times.
Sure.
And it's just harmful for the people who have been the victims in these relationships. But, like, Rihanna and Chris Brown, classic example. A recent one is Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Well, let's talk about that one because it was both accusations of physical abuse.
Yeah.
But then there seemed to be a lot of gaslighting, like lying, like, oh, you did this, and what do you mean I did that?
Yeah,
yeah, you were passed out and you did that. But like they would each make up seemed, and I don't want to take sides, although I did watch the trial a lot, like the stuff on the tube. Calling it the tube now.
It's cool. It's hip.
The tube.
Tube.
And you would see that one would accuse one of something, the other would accuse one of the other of something.
Yeah.
They would then have witnesses who like one person, witnesses who like the other. But eventually, I think a lot of the truth got out. But I believe that there was yeah. probably, what is it, a little bit of, it was a bad relationship from the start.
Definitely. Yeah.
What else you got there?
We've got Kourtney Kardashian, Scott Disick. This is a classic one for people in the Kardashian world, which I am a little bit. I've kept up with it. But it's, Scott just, like, he had a lot of drug and alcohol problems that...
But who is Scott? Like, what was he known for?
I don't remember. I think he just would do events at clubs. Like, he would show up and, like, get people to come. It was like a money-making club sort of thing.
But was he known before meeting Kourtney? Like, were they both celebrities in some way?
No, I don't. I think like locally in the scene, wherever he was living, like as a party goer. But he wasn't. But also, like, they were together. I think when the show started.
Okay.
So it was Kim before they were even. Yeah. But
So I will apologize for my own lack of knowledge on a lot of these. I don't really follow celebrities that much.
Yeah.
Anymore, ever since I was told to stop following celebrities.
Ever since the restraining order started rolling in.
The stalking. They were talking about my stalking. Mm-hmm. And I said I was just corn.
Oh. Sorry, I just have to write something down really quickly.
She's writing something down.
But with...
We'll have to guess about that later.
With Courtney and Scott, it's...
Yeah,
it was just the alcohol, drugs, and partying, so he was really unreliable and wouldn't show up, and, like, once they had their first kid together, I think she was like, I can't, this...
So
he was cheating, and...
So let's go to maybe not cheating. Let's go to where someone has completely different beliefs and values, potentially.
Yeah.
Now, two really famous celebrities had gotten together, and they were both very well-known, relatively attractive people. They pulled in a lot of money in the box office. And I'm talking about Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. The amazing beginning of that relationship, all over the news and the media everywhere, and then later the split up. And then Tom Cruise's next relationship and the split up. And a lot of it that if you are watching and reading, some attribute to Tom's ties to Scientology. But I don't think it's necessarily only a belief or... the value somebody places on different aspects of their life, mm-hmm. but there's got to be other stuff too, because you can have a different belief but still relate to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more to go off of than just someone's belief system, but it depends on where your priorities lie, if that's a deal breaker for you or not.
True. And a lot of times we talk about belief system is less important than the actual, like the actual what is your belief versus, you know...
The
what,
actions of your beliefs.
How you take those beliefs into action.
How you apply them.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think you need to write that down. Application of belief. Action of belief. Actionable beliefs. That a lot of times what we do is based upon the stimulus... And our values and beliefs and how that's impact our thought structure that triggers our actions. So that's good.
Yeah.
Any case, Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson, I don't know anything about them. You know
Ariana and Pete. I mean, they had a very short relationship, but it was really whirlwind, like just kind of the obsessive lusting sort of thing. Now, I think they did have like a connection of sorts because they had fun together. But it wasn't a good foundation for a long-term relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean either of them were toxic or horrible to each other. I just don't think it was meant to last.
So here's a question that we see a celebrity, an artist on TV, and they have a persona. Mm-hmm. You know, how they are in public, how they are on the screen, the characters they portray.
Yeah.
And so we see them as maybe typecast or... how they're promoted as this is how they are. Mm-hmm. And now here comes another actor, actress, artist, musician, and they have their persona that they have given off. Maybe it's almost a caricature. I can't even say that word.
Caricature.
Thank you. Of themselves. That it's not really them, but it's just like this false entity that we all see them as.
Yeah.
And now you have these two people they meet, and they hit it off, and they're being filmed and photographed or in the media, mm-hmm. and it's a whirlwind because you find somebody who is in your field. You know, you're both actors, you're both musicians, you're well-known, you're celebrities, you have the same pressures of everyday life as they do, and you quickly draw this affinity, you get close to them.
Yeah.
And this is before you really know who they are.
Yeah.
Because what you see them as is not who they are.
You become obsessed with the perception of the person, your perception of the person.
So perception is more important than reality when you first meet somebody.
Yeah. The impression they make on you and how they appear on the surface. It could be true to who they are, but you also don't know the deeper levels of their beliefs, how they treat.
And we've talked in the past about when you first meet somebody, there's a lot of projection going on, like what mm-hmm. you think they are. what you'd like them to be. And a lot of times what you're so involved in, oh, this is going to be fantastic, that you project the relationship, the person, as being so much more.
Or it depends on what you want, too. If you had bad experiences, then you're expecting someone to treat you a certain way based off the experiences you've had.
Mm.
Or you're looking for love so badly that you'll just go blind to things that maybe don't align with what you actually want.
So ignoring the red flags of the relationship.
It doesn't even have to necessarily be red flags. Like, not even toxic, but just
things that don't
maybe
fit.
We don't. Yeah, maybe we're not a good match, and I'm pushing for it because that's what I ultimately want, is a relationship.
Got it. And we'll talk more about relationships, not red flags, but things that we might ignore, as we talk more about toxicity on 90 Day Soulmate with Jessica.
Me and Jim.
Be right back after this.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Jessica.
And Jim.
Lizette is traveling. That's why she's not on the show today.
I've actually just replaced her. Indefinitely.
Indefinitely for the next hour.
Yeah.
Or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We figured we had enough with celebrities. Who cares about them anyway? They're not real. Unless they're on a reality TV show, then they're real, because exactly how they're acting on that show is how they are in real life.
I've never heard of a producer before.
A producer?
I don't know what a producer is, actually. I don't think they exist.
They don't cut and direct? There's no director on a reality TV show, no? No lighting?
I don't even know what you're talking
about. No makeup artist?
Actually, yeah.
Really?
No.
So we're going to talk about actual other things that toxic people do. And I don't even want to call it toxic people. Let's just call it people.
Yeah.
And depending on the extent or how they mean it, like what's the actual meaning behind the action?
The intention. Where it came from.
Yeah. Was it from a good place?
Why the behaviors are happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at one. They'll keep you guessing about which version of them you're getting. And by the way, we're taking this from an article by Karen Young. We're looking at the topics. We're going to discuss them a little bit. Yeah. Toxic people, 12 things they do and how to deal with them.
Yeah.
So we're just going to discuss it ourselves. How would we deal with it? So people keep you guessing about the version of them you're getting. And I've seen this from people.
Yeah, it's the classic walking on eggshells.
So today someone's really nice to you, and then tomorrow they're like anything you do sets them off.
Yeah.
And so you're not sure how to react at any time.
Yeah. And then it just creates an environment where you bite your tongue on even like the smallest things. You don't want to share an opinion, suggest an idea. So you're like, I don't know how they'll react. So you just become not introverted, but more and more scared to reveal your true feelings. It's like a slow burn of manipulation.
And do you become numb to them?
I don't know if it's becoming numb, but you're definitely getting used to it in a way. I think it's numb in a way, but like you're still aware of it. It's like we were talking about earlier, the graph of what you're willing to put up with.
Yes.
Of like, am I in a long-term relationship with this person? Like, this is what they're doing to me, so I'm just going to... How do I escape this? I can't talk back to them.
So,
versus like you meet someone off the bat and they immediately are back and forth shutting you down, versus like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. What's your opinion on this? Like, okay, this is weird.
And that's another program we talk about, or actually in other programs we talk about that, is that typically when you meet somebody for the first time, they're like that celebrity. They're like that projection. Yeah. You want to have a good relationship. They may be on their best behavior, and some of these behaviors don't come out till later.
Yeah.
So you've invested a lot in the relationship. Time, money, efforts, energy.
And the longer you're together, we're assuming you're maybe growing a family, getting older, stressors become more and more, and those stressors bring out these behaviors. So if this is something this person has never done before, and then all of a sudden it's like, work is stressing me out, I'm going to flip out on my partner. But then the next day at work is more chill. They come home like, oh, hi, honey, how are you? Like,
so as stress has been building, they finally get to a breaking point, or you do.
Yeah.
And something comes out that normally doesn't.
Yeah.
And then if that is so out of character,
yeah,
you then decide how to deal with it. Ignore it. You know what? It was one time. I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah.
You know what? We better talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's go to therapy.
Yeah. How invested are you in
how fixing invested?
It? Does it, like, is it worth it to you to work on this?
So I did like that video you showed me, and it was talking about that if you have just met somebody 5 minutes ago and they make a snide comment to you, you might just say, you know what? Don't care. I'll just never talk to them again.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's your partner of 3 years who tells you a snide comment that you've never heard from them before, you might say, one, you might excuse it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they're probably just upset.
Yeah.
Or even if it's like 3 months or 4 months, not 3 years.
Yeah.
So the other is, if you're walking on eggshells, are you attempting to do everything possible to not have, to make them that happy person that you want them to be?
Yeah.
Rather than fearful of them turning into, who is it, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? One of the two, you know?
I think what I was trying to say earlier is you're just, it becomes then about appeasing your partner, and it takes away your sense of self.
Is that the emotional unknown?
Yeah.
Puts you on edge all the time.
Yeah.
That you're that state of, I got to figure out what I need to do to stay in good graces with them.
Yeah.
And then you're so busy about that, you don't think about yourself.
Yeah.
Hmm. So what's the next one? They'll manipulate you.
Yeah, I mean.
So what's a manipulation?
It's a lot of different stuff. I'd see a lot of people using jealousy as a way to keep their partner engaged, bringing up like, oh, I was out today and this person flirted with me. Like, I'm desired. If you're not desiring me enough, I could easily walk away from this.
So it manipulate through fear.
Yeah, it could be anything. And it can be subtle. Like, they talk about subtlety with manipulation. It's not always in your face.
I got it. And there's one of the things they talk about here is they do something. And you call them out on doing it, and they say, I was doing it for you.
Yeah, or you're overreacting. This was my intention. People like to say, like, the intention doesn't matter. If you hurt someone, you hurt someone.
But I didn't do it because of that. I did it because I love you, and I thought I was doing it to take care of you. And then it becomes not how you feel about it. It's how they try to make you feel guilty about feeling how you felt about it.
And then victimize themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that martyr? They become the martyr
in
a manipulation through martyr.
Yeah.
How about they won't own their own feelings?
Yeah, it leads to projection. Like, I know someone who had a previous relationship where someone screwed them over a little bit, relayed feelings that they thought were mutual, and then it was a quick break of like, actually, I don't want this. Let's stop, and it kind of blindsided them. So new relationship comes along, start seeing somebody, and then every little thing this person does, they're like, they don't like me, I don't trust it, they're just gonna screw me over again like the last person did. And then it ends up coming out onto the other person, like, why are they kind of distant, why are they not treating me, putting in effort like I am? It's because of their own past experiences, but you can't put that on somebody else.
And the past experiences put them in a mood or how they feel about something. And then the article talks about how they try to put the feeling on you. We've talked about in the past in our show is that how we feel about a situation makes us look at somebody and think. Like, we talked about neutral facial expressions.
Yeah.
If you're upset and you see somebody with a neutral facial expression, you may think they're angry with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're upset, instead of you saying, hey, I'm upset and I want to tell you why,
yeah,
you look at the person And a manipulator or a toxic person will say, hey, why are you angry at me? Mm-hmm. And it's the person who's actually angry.
Yeah.
But they project, as you said, project that emotion on the other person. Yeah. Why are you angry at me? What did I do?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, yeah. What are you talking about?
I think it's a good place to mention, too, that like the problem with calling people toxic is it's not always intentionally malicious. Like someone in this situation, I think, is just very insecure because of their experiences, and they don't even realize they're doing it sometimes. They're just afraid, and it comes out.
So toxicity can just simply be without knowing, but it can be also toxic in that situation, meaning that person with a different person may not be toxic because they may be able to communicate better, right. Or there might be a similar...
It's just a better fit.
Similar system.
Mm-hmm.
Similar process that goes on.
Just behaviors that affect someone negatively doesn't always make the person toxic. It just means that relationship is toxic.
So here's one we were talking about earlier today.
Yeah.
They'll make it that you need to prove yourself to them.
Yeah.
And it you know.
Show me you're worthy of my time.
Show me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
why? Or
why?
Or I've been with this person for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and I don't know if they like me.
Yeah.
You know, they're not showing that they like me. You need to show me that you like me. Why don't you like me?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be is that you've tried like 8 different ways to do it, but you've heard of love languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm spending time with you. I'm taking you to dinner. We're going out to movies. I say I love you. What's missing? Oh, you don't hold me enough.
Say that.
Yeah. You don't love me.
Why? Hi, can I have a hug? Ask for what you want. And I've been through that experience too, where it's like, well, I don't want to ask. I want somebody who fits what I want and does these things automatically. But there are limitations to that. I think there are people that fit better with each other in terms of how their love languages fit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if there's something specific that you're wanting, and like, there's no harm in asking.
And then
they can do more
there
of
is
it
not.
In the future.
Exactly. And this is where we do our promotion of the book 90 Day Soulmate. 90 Day Soulmate has a whole section in there of what are you looking for in a relationship to help remove the toxicity of a future relationship by matching on these areas.
Yep.
You know, I want somebody who hugs me. I want somebody who does everything together with me or gives me space.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a relationship, this is what I'm willing to do. The worksheets in here help you figure out what you want so you can avoid those type of, and maybe they're toxic interactions rather than toxic people.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And situations.
I was picking up on that. That's why I
rolled
with this.
Right into that?
Right
yeah,
into
yeah.
this is that that the people become toxic to us. By the way, two chlorines together, right? If you get bleach and bleach and pour them together, you know, to someone else, that bleach could be toxic, but the bleach to the bleach might be fine. You take bleach and ammonia, they're both cleaning agents.
You die.
I clean. Oh, you want to clean? Great, we'll clean. We love cleaning.
Yeah.
But their interaction and how they deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the same, and we're all different chemistries, right? Chemistries in our chemistry,
mm-hmm.
if we're just chemical, physical, mental objects,
mm-hmm.
that these things are. I mean, we could look at ourselves like chlorine or like ammonia, that we have traits based upon our structure, our brains, our chemistries, our beliefs, what we know and our knowledge, those traits either fit or don't fit with someone else. Like molecules that, when you put together, form carbon dioxide, carbon and oxygen, right? Or you have other ones, you mix these elements together and they explode. It works. It works that way. That's how it works.
It's pretty straightforward, the never apologizing.
Never apologize?
There's no way to have a conversation.
Okay.
They're never in the wrong. That wasn't my fault. Deflection. Turn it on to you somehow.
Well, let me ask you a question. They never apologize, but if you're also, like, if there's somebody who's always looking for apologies, it's like someone who feels offended all the time, like you're like, you hurt me, you hurt me, you hurt me.
Victimized when the intention wasn't. Yeah.
I just don't know what to say anymore. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Yeah, but you don't mean it. And now I'm saying I'm sorry. You want me to say I'm sorry, but now I don't mean it. You know.
Yeah.
That I've had relationships before where it's just like you can't figure out what to say. It's like you know something's wrong and you know you did wrong, but no matter what you say wasn't good enough. You can't change what you did. And then you figure out you can't actually change yourself beyond a certain amount each day. Mm-hmm. And the direction that you're changing in is not fitting with the other person. Well, these are things we want to know sooner than later. And you brought that up.
Yeah.
If someone's going to be toxic in their behavior, something that doesn't fit with you, you want them to be that way really soon in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You got to look for it, too. You got to turn off the blinders and kind of look out for those sort of things, which is something you learn the more relationships you have. It's like there are things that maybe were a little evident but hidden just because you had those like love goggles on. So
got
that's
it.
Tough
love
too.
Goggles. Oh, and what happens with love? The lust and I'm going to call them the lust goggles.
That's
the lust goggles.
Yeah.
Being that your frontal cortex is shut off.
Yeah.
You can't make logical decisions, so you don't see these things that might be seen by your friends. When your friends are saying, hey, this is how that person is, and you're like, why are you saying that? You're jealous, right? You're jealous.
You should trust your friends more.
Trust your friends more.
More often. Not more than yourself, but take what they say into consideration.
Listen to it. Get perspective.
Yeah.
Take a step back.
Yeah.
Take a month off. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. And when we return, we'll talk more about thinking about it on 90 Day Soulmate with special guest Jessica.
And host Jim. One of two hosts, Jim.
Be right back after this. "90 Day Soulmate" is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with special guest Jessica.
And Jim.
There's a book called While Victoria Dreams. The individual little stories are almost toxic relationships in themselves. They're people who thought at one point might get together, might love each other. When they first meet, there's stars and fireworks and all that. And as time goes on, the revealing of the internal personalities and how people really are and how they act, which may have been glossed over in the initial meeting, come out. Parallel to something you've experienced or one of your friends have experienced, and it's a pretty cool read. So get While Victoria Dreams by Lizette Guevara and Jim Galnick. Example of this next one, which is, they'll be there for you in a crisis, but they'll never share your joy.
Yeah.
It's almost like they revel. They revel in your crisis.
Well, it's self-gain. It's not that they want to see you hurting necessarily. It's that they want to be your hero so that you only depend on them.
Hmm. Do you think not only depend on them, but it's like, I want you to relate to me more, so I want you to be hurt, so we can have that conversation we don't have, because when you're successful, I feel more distance from you.
Yeah, you find more connection in the sad times than the joy, because it's like, oh, they can succeed without me.
So
they don't need me, they don't have to depend on me. It's a dependence.
So Lizette has a friend who, if Lizette ever had an issue, like her car broke down, if her son got sick, if anything, that person would drop everything they're doing, get there and help them out. So, you know, just drop of a hat, in the car, come on over, broken down on the side of the road, drive over there, you know, help push the car. There in time of crisis, completely reliably, the person you would want to depend on for anything.
Yeah.
But when things are going well, they're constantly looking for what's not good in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey.
Well, did you think about this?
Yeah. My son just graduated from college. He's about, oh, well.
What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Job market isn't too good right now.
Terrible job market.
Yeah. I have a good one of someone I know whose partner is very dependent, codependent. So really great thing happened is he got a part in something. It's like, oh, I got this role, right? Mm-hmm. And partner was like, yeah, I went for that same thing. I didn't get in. They just waltzed in there and got this role, got this part. As if this person didn't have talent. Just completely removing any sense of pride. They should be feeling joy in that moment. It's like, oh, well, my pain is now your pain. We don't get to celebrate you because I'm going through this.
Because I didn't get a part, and you just waltzed. You just waltzed in and get a part, and I didn't, so I'm not happy for you.
Yeah. Let's instead celebrate the talent and the skill it took to get that part.
Sure.
Celebrate your partner.
Even if you were typecast and you were perfect for the part and you had no talent, still celebrate. My gosh.
Yeah, it's still an accomplishment.
It's still an accomplishment for... Yeah. But, and I know you do a lot of film. Mm-hmm. The number way, for me, and you can confirm or deny this, the number one way of filling a role is you find somebody who naturally fits that role.
Yeah.
Who can deliver lines like the character and then has actual commitment, experience, and can do a good job acting.
You find the character in real life.
And then rewrite the script 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you do. Yeah, you find someone who fits.
Oh, that was They'll Never Share Your Joy. Oh, I like this one. How many times have you had a conversation that became a difficult conversation with somebody and they say, I'm sorry, I have to go. Mm-hmm. I can't continue this conversation right now.
Just evade the tough part.
Or your last text has just gone unanswered for 12 hours.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do about it? Nothing. And then you're, are they alive?
Move on? Are they done?
Did they dump me?
Are they ever going to talk to me again?
And then you start projecting all the things. And so... It's, and by the way, there's a book out, and I don't remember what it's called entirely, but it's like this 30-chapter book on manipulation. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters talks about confusing people as a way to manipulate them, meaning you have a great conversation, like, oh, so good to meet you, you're like one of the best people, I love hanging out with you. And then you ignore them for like 3 weeks, and that hole creates a
almost like desirable tension,
right? And then they come back and like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't been in contact, been really busy, but I've been thinking about you this whole entire time, and I was telling this other person how great you are, and you know, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so smart, you're so talented, and you know, hey, you're able to go out on Friday night, and you're like, oh, wow, they haven't been thinking about me. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then Friday night comes, and what happens?
Yeah. No communication.
And then you go back through that spiral again, and they start getting your feelings going like this.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of us have been trained that emotions mean...
Fact?
Love. like that... Like, why aren't they calling me? I want to... And then they, you know, Saturday, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My mother was in a bad accident. And they'll even make up a lie. They'll make up a story.
This could be a good thing to come back to one day. Is like, Oh my God, I forgot what you just said.
Which one?
The
one. So...
Like the... Wanting chaos, being comfortable in the chaos. Some people... Are you said if you grew up in a chaotic household,
yes.
Maybe you look for drama in relationships, and it's not active, but you feel uncomfortable in the steadiness. So you think, how can I mix this up?
Yeah, if there's not emotion in that relationship, you're feeling there's not. I can't be in love because there's not emotion. I'm not feeling neglected.
So. Some people feel that as a lack of spark. If it's not.
Yeah.
Fun or like forbidden love or something that like is making it. Different or spicy, you're like, well, this isn't, I just feel comfortable.
So
we just like each other, we like hanging out, but there's no spark or crazy romance happening.
So is this part of our childhood programming? Is it part of the movies we see? Is it part of media and marketing and music?
I think those are all factors. I think it mainly comes down to how you were raised, your environment, nature, nurture. It's a combination of a lot.
You remember when you were a kid and your stepsisters would treat you really badly and make you sweep and clean, and they went to the ball
and
you
couldn't?
And
I lost my slipper. And
yeah, you remember the whole story?
It was a whole thing. But I've never been able to look at shoes the same.
Clearly you can't look at shoes the same way.
I have a heart of glass.
Blondie. So, in any case, you grow up with these things where you've got the stress of the evil stepsisters and the stepmother, and you go to the ball, and you're being trained as a little kid to feel these emotions, and then, oh, there's the prince, and oh, it's wonderful. And if you don't have that type of feeling in a relationship, you think, oh, it can't be love.
Getting swept off your feet.
Swept off your feet.
Yeah.
Well, Cinderella was sweeping off her feet even before meeting the prince.
Yeah.
Sweeping off her feet.
Yeah.
How about this one? I like this one. They use non-toxic words with a toxic tone. Oh, it's really good to see you today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has you second-guessing everything, and then they can flip it back around on you when you're sad. Of like, why are they talking to me like that? It's like, talking to you like what? I'm saying normal things.
Oh, I'm glad you're the best.
Yeah.
What did you say? I'm glad you're the best.
Right.
No, you said, I'm glad you're the best.
Yeah, the tone change.
So
you're probably just hearing things.
Yeah.
Why are you putting that on me?
Again, gaslighting or manipulating through what you want them to think that they are wrong.
Yeah.
Not that you want them to, but the person will want you to think you're in the wrong and they said nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What did you hear?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You're
just sensitive. You're taking my words to I didn't say that. I didn't say anything bad.
Oh, you're really smart. What? Yeah, you're really smart.
Yeah. Quick. And then they have you second guessing yourself. It's like, oh, maybe I didn't hear that.
Third guessing is, I think, what you want to say.
Yeah.
Third guess. Because the second guess isn't good enough.
Yeah.
All I said, irrelevant detail into the conversation.
Yeah.
So, you brought that up. We talked about that a little bit, but bringing up something from, you have a problem with something they did now.
Yeah.
And they say, well, 3 months ago, when I wanted to go with my buddies to this thing, and you said this to me, and you're like,
yeah.
But I'm talking about now. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
They don't want to address the current thing, and they'll bring up irrelevant. And we talk about, liars bring up irrelevant details, too.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, instead of saying yes or no to a question.
They say yes because and this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go out with me Friday night? There is nothing more that I would want to do than going out with you on Friday night.
Yeah.
I love going out on Friday nights, and I would love to go out with you.
Or no, I can't because
but
my
can't.
Cousin's dog's pet parrot passed, and I'm planning this funeral. It's really intense.
Polly want a burial?
Polly want a cremation.
Polly want a instant cremation. That's carnation instant breakfast drink. Yes.
Cremation instant breakfast drink.
This tastes like liquid ash. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't make an ash of yourself. All right.
Don't. This kind of ties into the other
one.
Toxic words. Well, they'll make it about the way you're talking rather than what you're talking
about.
Oh,
yeah. The other is, like, say now you say something like, hey, that's really smart of you. And they'll say, why did you say that's really smart of you? I didn't say that. I said that's really smart of you. No, you didn't. You were making fun of me.
Well, I think it's more applicable to a situation where it's like, hey, why did you say that to me earlier? You called, like, you know, I made a mistake and you called me stupid. Why, like, I'm angry. That was hurtful. And like, well, you don't have to yell at me. I don't know why, like, I made a mistake, so I called you one word. Like, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Don't, and you're like, I'm allowed to be upset.
Yeah. And this also goes into the way we were talking about how people perceive the other person.
Mm-hmm.
They project their own emotion on the other person.
Yeah.
So if you say something nicely to them, they or just matter-of-factly to them, they can hear that as being mean.
Yeah.
And they may not. They actually may mean it. Again, this is where, are they being toxic? Is this just natural? Are they chlorine and you're ammonia? Are they chlorine, you chlorine?
Yeah.
How does that fit? Do you fit?
Yeah.
Do you fit with them?
Yeah. Oh, the exaggeration.
They do not exaggerate. You're always saying stuff like that. A million times you say stuff like
that. What do they call those? The always, never. There's a word for those.
Those are words. I can't tell you right now.
It's like, I want to say superlatives, but it's not. It's like the extremes of something.
Superfluor, whatever.
Superfluous?
You never. It's hard. Oh, so that's funny. You never, you always. Toxic people have a way of drawing on the one time you did something. Oh.
Yeah.
You all, or even on themselves, I always do that. And it's like, you do not always do that. You do that most of the time, but sometimes you do it this way.
Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with a young person years ago, and they were doing a game, and they did it wrong. And I'm like, you did it this way. No, I didn't do it that way. I always do it this way. I'm like, I was just there. And now I'm feeling, okay, now I'm tormenting a younger person because I'm telling them they're wrong. And I'm like, "This is this worth it? Do I need to invest this? Or is it like, I need to be right?
I need to be right.
They need to be taught that they can't lie.
Yep.
Then I'm thinking, maybe they don't think they're lying. Maybe they think they're telling the truth.
I've done that before. I'm like, no, I didn't say that. I genuinely didn't say that. Did I really say that?
Huh? Did you?
Apparently. Sometimes.
All the time.
I always make that mistake.
There you go. And then lastly, when people are judgmental. So why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Instead of having a conversation about, hey, I'm just curious as to why you did it this way. Like, can I offer a piece of advice? Or
why do you say that?
You know. Instead of,
that doesn't make any sense.
Why would you do that? That's so stupid. There's this much better way to do it. Maybe that better way is a better way for you. Maybe not for them. People have different ways of approaching things.
So when they give that disgust face when you're saying something, or that contempt.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah.
Those types of attitudes are a way of manipulating. And again, they play on your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want smooth and relaxing relationships. At least we think we do. And then sometimes, again, when we don't have the ups and downs in relationships, maybe we think we're not in a relationship.
Yeah.
If we're not fighting for that relationship and having arguments that we gotta get through and come out better at the end.
It doesn't feel passionate, like you're working for it. You shouldn't have to really, like, fight for a relationship, you know, like, do things to better it. But you shouldn't be at war for your relationship.
True. And so I see you have a number 13. Is this something?
I do have a number 13.
Number 13, brought to you by Jessica. This sounds like an episode of Sesame Street. The number 13, brought to you by Jessica.
Oh, my God. What's today's letter? 13 and letter T. So I just wrote down, I was musing. I said, you haven't done anything wrong. It's when you haven't done anything wrong, someone is upset about a situation, they take it out on you. And this then puts the emotional stress and responsibility on you to then regulate their emotions.
You haven't done anything wrong. I'm just upset about it. It's and now you're trying to figure out how to take care of it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, like, they won't even acknowledge that you didn't do anything wrong. Say that you're just a bystander, innocent in the situation, and I'm like, well, the dishwasher's broken and I can't do these things and you're no help and like this and that, and you're just, I didn't do anything, you're just upset about this, and now the responsibility is on you to be like, well, it's okay, we can take care of it. Maybe they're like just passively making comments on you that are hurtful when you're not in the wrong. Like, you, there's, it's not even a us situation, it's a me versus this thing situation.
Oh, okay. They bring you into their conflict.
Yeah.
How, yeah. Regulate my let me throw this conflict on top of you.
Yeah.
So I'm embroiling you in the conflict. Well, and then there's two things. Do they embroil you in the conflict because they want you to help solve it?
Yeah.
Or do they just want you to acknowledge that they're upset? So that sounds really upsetting. And I know we were listening to something earlier about changing the framing of, so it sounds like you're upset. Why does the dishwasher being broken upset you so much? So I have to do it by hand. You don't have the time to do it by hand, you know, trying to work through it rather than, and then again, do you want help with this or you just want to vent?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even venting. I'm pushing this beyond the, what can the partner do to help? Because I think that's a valid, you know, I want to support my partner, and if me calming them down or offering solutions or letting them vent is what they need, as like almost a love language sort of thing,
yeah,
that's cool. if you're having a conflict with something else and you start taking it out on me, saying, why didn't you do this? Why? And you're like, this is not my fault. It was not my cause to that effect. I'm not involved. I didn't cause the situation, and you're taking your anger out on me? That's not fair to me.
Yeah, so when people take their anger out on you, it's not fair to you. And what we're hoping is that people can have these discussions early on in their relationships, establish a framework for a good relationship, work together in one system under common goals, birds with, what did we say? The same wings, but different talons, can achieve goals faster when flying in unison. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Jessica, special guest.
Jim.
Have a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.